Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. Lots going on as always. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I feel great. Energy's good. Weather's wonderful. It's about 75, 76 degrees here. Relatively clear skies. Can't see any chemtrails. So it's kind of like a day without chemtrails is always a good day.
Yeah.
But again, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it, buddy. What's your first story?
Well, this one's pretty cool. I know you and I both know Pastor Rodney Howard Brown out in Tampa, and in order to make sure everybody knows that his church is armed, including himself, which he is, every time I've hung out with him, he always has a firearm with him. He posted a sign on the church recently now that actually got Fox News, Fox Bay News 9 and Fox reporting on it. It says, "Welcome to the river at Tampa Bay Church. Right of admission reserved. This is private property. Warning, please know this is not a gun-free zone. We are heavily armed. Any attempt will be dealt with deadly force. Yes, we are a church, and we will protect all of our people. Sincerely, the pastors." So I thought that was pretty funny, but also pretty cool at the same time. This is what a lot of Americans, a lot of churches, and a lot of true patriots need to start doing, is supporting places that are pro gun carry in their buildings. I've said so many times, whenever I go someplace, I really question whether or not I want to support them if they have a sign on the building that says this is a gun-free zone or firearms not allowed in the premises. I never have not once turned around and put my firearm in my vehicle. I still carry it regardless, because their private ideology on what constitutes lawful carrying of a firearm does not trump my Second Amendment rights. So I don't follow those laws. And you need to debate whether or not you want to support a facility or a business that actually wants to ban the people that are coming into its store, spending their hard-earned money, from being able to protect themselves lawfully. So I thought that was pretty cool, Deb, that Rodney posted that up on the church.
I think it's a great idea. Of course, it's going to get him a lot of publicity, and so all the gun people will like to come. But all of the people who don't want guns won't stay there, so that's okay too. Because quite frankly, I mean, we have a right on our Second Amendment. Now, here's what's interesting about Rodney's church. It's so funny because it's a very mixed congregation. It has a lot of blacks and Hispanics and whites in it. And he's so heavily involved in the politics. Every once in a while, you'll go over there, he'll really start pushing politics, and you go back and visit. And he's cleaned the church out, and there's a lot of people gone. I mean, it just kind of empties out. But then they all kind of meander back in because he has a great bus ministry. He spends like $5,000 a week going into the inner city of Tampa and bringing in the homeless and bringing in the downtrodden and the sad people and the sick people and everything else and for his services. I mean, he's pretty amazing how he does that from a ministry standpoint. So I'm kind of curious as to how these guys from the inner city who've had to deal with guns their entire life and people getting shot in their neighborhood feel about going to a church that's heavily armed. So we'll find out. But let me share something with you. A few years ago in Tallahassee at the Strozier Library, one of the students kind of went whacked out on you know, tricyclic antidepressants or Prozac drugs or whatever, and he ended up bringing a gun with him, and he opened fire and shot some people in the library, and I believe he may have killed a few. I don't remember if he killed them or injured them. And then FSU really cracked down on all guns on campus, even in the parking lots, and it's one of the reasons that I stopped going to the football games. As you all know, I'm a three-time graduate from Florida State University. I have three separate diplomas on the wall. I kid you not. You guys think I'm joking, but I'm not. And, I mean, I was there for a long, long time. I love college. I love school. I love academics. I was a college professor for 2 years after I graduated there. And what's interesting about that is that it was so irritating to me, because I remember one time a few years ago, I had left my gun in my truck when I was going to a football game. I was a season ticket holder. And I remembered that I wasn't even allowed to leave a gun in the vehicle on the campus, that I had to return it back to the hotel from whence I had come, and otherwise I could not have the gun with me. Now, here's the problem with all of that. Number one, I have gun stickers all over my vehicle, so there's a high probability the car's got a gun in it. That's number one. Number two, what if I had not stayed in a hotel? What if I had driven up for the day, parked on campus, gone to the game, got in my truck, and left? I would be breaking the law according to the statutes associated with Florida State University, and I could probably be arrested for that. Now, that's a problem. That's a real problem for me. So I have stopped getting season tickets. Now, this year I didn't get season tickets because I just kind of felt I didn't want to mess with them anymore. It's too far to drive. And quite frankly, their team is awful this year. I mean, we finally played the Gators this year, and we played the first team we've played yet that was worse than we were. I mean, it was an awful game as far as the mistakes, et cetera. So I don't really care if I go back to the game or not. Now they're in the process of getting a new head coach. It looks like Jimbo Fisher will be leaving Florida State University, which is fine with me. I don't care. But the thing about it is that this arcane gun policy, if someone else had had a concealed weapons permit and had been on that campus with a concealed weapon, when that guy opened up in Strozier Library, they could have returned fire and stopped that entire incident. This is what Rodney's trying to say and what he's trying to show that you can do in a church. The only problem that you run into is crossfire. And here's what I'm going to be very blunt with you guys right now. And gosh, please don't get upset with me because I'm being as kind as I can. You have to train with your weapon. You can't muzzle sweep people. You've got to think about where the trajectory of the bullet's going to go and what's going to stop it. You can't be using really high-powered rounds that are going to penetrate two or three people before they stop. You've got to be using some type of hydroshock or not a full metal jacket, some type of hydroshock, some of this fancy ammo.
MagSafe,
there you go, that when it goes into somebody, it doesn't exit their body and kill three more people. You've got to think through what you're doing with the weapon. Years ago, when I shot that Doberman Pinscher that was attacking me here, this has been over 20 years ago, now 21 years ago, I came in the backyard. He had already attacked my yard guy. He had already put two people, bit one person, put him in the hospital, bit another person. This dog was a known biter. When the owner walked this dog, he had to put a muzzle on it so it wouldn't bite people while he was walking it because it was such a just a hazard, this dog was. And I remember when I dropped the weapon, I shot the gun as soon as I walked outside. I knew this dog was in the backyard. I had warned the owner if he came in our yard again because he tried to attack my wife. I was afraid he was going to attack you, Austin. You were 8 years old. That I would kill the dog. I told him, if your dog comes in my yard again, I'm going to kill your dog. I said, I'm not going to allow a known biter to come in, attack my wife, attack my child, kill somebody in my yard. I'm letting you know if you can't keep this dog contained inside of the fencing area, I'm going to shoot it. And so he got all mad at me and told me I was threatening his dog. I said, I'm not threatening anything. I'm telling you what I'm going to do if your dog comes to my yard again because you can't seem to take care of this animal. I even offered to build him a kennel and pay for it, and he wouldn't do it. So I remember I walked out in the yard, and I remember first thing I did was discharge a round into the ground. You never shoot a round into the air because where it lands, you know not where. You have no idea where it's coming down. It can land on your head, somebody else's head, go through somebody's roof, poke a hole in a roof, kill somebody out, you know, quarter mile away. You got to be careful because when these bullets fall, if they hit you in the skull, they're going to penetrate. So I walked out in the ground. I shot a gun. I shot the gun into the ground because I hadn't fired that gun, particular gun, probably in about a year. And it was a full-size 9mm. What model was it, Austin?
It was Glock 17.
There you go. See, Austin knows all these names. It was a Glock 17. Dropped around. Had 17-round magazine. I discharged one round. And then I looked up, and here he comes. He had seen me run. He had seen me pull the trigger. He had seen me discharge a weapon. He wasn't scared. He had been trained to attack people with weapons. So he was doing what he was trained to do, which I have to give the dog credit for that. So there was a house right behind us. So when I dropped the gun on him, he's about 150 feet away. I was shooting at a flat trajectory. And I had to stop in the middle of this with this dog running at me about 35 miles an hour, knowing he'd be on top of me within a couple of seconds. And I had to say, no, there's a house behind me. They have children in that house. This bullet's not going to stop. There's bushes between the houses. There's not a concrete block wall. And I said, I can't discharge this weapon until this dog is about two strides away from me because I have to be shooting at a downward angle. And so when he got about 35, 40 feet away, I double tapped him, shot him twice, hit him twice. And that was the end of the dog. Now, the reason I'm telling you that in detail, if you think I'm going to go to church and carry my gun with me and you don't ever shoot that gun and you don't train with that gun and you haven't had proper training with it and you don't even know what it means to muzzle sweep somebody, that means you never point an unloaded or loaded gun at anybody ever. If you don't understand that and you're not used to using your safety and your releases and your magazines and all this stuff, it's better for you to crawl out on the aisle and get out the back door and not discharge your weapon. Now, I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's the truth. It's better for you just to get the heck out of Dodge. And if somebody actually points a gun at you, then you could just try to shoot them back. But don't try to stop somebody in an active shooter situation and shoot somebody else. It's so important, Austin, that people take tactical training, especially if they're going to conceal carry and they're going to use that gun in the event of emergency. I don't know how to emphasize this. That's why the police officer was so shocked at that distance with that dog running full speed. I shot him twice and hit him twice because I knew that I didn't have much of a choice. Plus, I knew I had 16 rounds in the gun, so I knew no matter what, the dog was going to have a plethora of bullets dumped into it if it got any closer to me. No matter, even if it got me by the arm, it's still going to get shot with the other hand. So the whole thing is this. You've got to make sure you know where the bullet's going to go. If you're not trained properly, use it for your own personal defense, but try to get out of the church as quickly as you possible. Don't try to return fire at somebody who's not shooting at you. Think about the safety of your family and the other people around. What do you think, Austin?
That's incredibly good info, because that is something that I thought about. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because what you don't want to have happen is a congregation that's completely armed, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But what happens is if they're completely armed and you have one individual come in with, say, an AR-15, say it's a scenario like Texas, the Texas incident a couple weeks ago. You have a congregation that now, say, a tenth or a quarter of the population inside the church is now armed. Because they want to be armed, they want to be able to protect us, and that's admirable. I commend everybody for doing that. And you have some guy come in the back, he starts yelling something in Muslim or whatever he wants to do, pulls out an AR, starts shooting rounds. Well, then all of a sudden you're going to have about half the people that are carrying guns are going to be extremely terrified as soon as they hear a gunfire off. They're going to drop their head, they're going to hit the floor, they're immediately going to panic and drop. They're not going to do anything. Then you're going to have another about 20 to 30% of them that are probably going to draw their weapon and start shooting in that direction. The problem is what Dad just said, and this is what he's saying. If you have one individual that's an active shooter, and you have 10 other people that all of a sudden turn around and draw their weapon from every angle in a church that's 360 degree as far as where you have seats all over the place, you start raising an issue where you're going to have a higher body count from the concealed carry holders than you are from the active shooter as soon as he walks in. That's what you don't want to allow to happen. So it's best if you have a church like this, which I don't know, I have not talked to Rodney about this specific policy yet, I would personally, if I had a church like this and I was maintaining it to this level, I would have a mandatory meeting for all members of the church that actively carry concealed carry weapons. And I would also start making sure we would, A, have a meeting at least once to address all these issues and understand how to do the situation. Then what I would do, at least once a month, I would have everybody that's planning on being a full carry volunteer that's going to carry a firearm in my church 24/7 to have a mandatory meeting once a month where you do dry drills throughout the entire church, basically dry firing. So the weapons are unloaded, you use fake weapons, you use airsoft weapons, and you can even do force-on-force airsoft training with an active shooter in the church that you would be getting involved in a shooting in. That's what needs to be done in there. And then what you have is, at that point, you have a group of essentially private Christian contractors in the church that are there for security all the time. Once a situation arrives, they all know how to handle the situation. If the active shooter's on the right side of the church and they're on the left side of the church, they don't even need bother engaging. They can cover 360 support to make sure nobody else is coming in the room. The closest firefighters will basically engage the target. You don't need somebody that's 200 yards away on the other side of the church throwing rounds downrange against somebody that's only 5 yards away from them, that's right on top of them, that's doing close quarter fighting combat. You don't need bullets flying around the church like it's a war zone. That's like a worst case scenario. So I really hope, and we're probably talking about this because I'm sure he's already been doing this, but that's what you need to do if you're going to have a church and you're going to promote this. People in the church need to make sure they understand how to handle the situation if one arises and how to go about making sure the closest person to active shooter is the one that engages him. Because the last thing I want to do is have some active shooter come up on my left. I draw, I start putting rounds into him, and then I got numb nuts 50 feet behind me, shoots me in the butt because he doesn't know what he's doing. He panics and just starts shooting in a random direction. Then I'm going to be mad, because then it's going to happen at that point. I'm going to turn around and think I'm getting return fire from another active shooter, and I'm immediately going to start shooting in the other direction because I just took a round in the back. Then you have a giant cluster bomb, which is a horrible scenario, and we do not need that for the Second Amendment patriot community. So yes, you absolutely have to train. You have to be prepared for it. And even doing force-on-force airsoft training is another really, really good way to practice. Even paintballing. I used to all the time when I was younger. Woods paintball. Going out in the woods with two different groups, full paintball guns, running on each other, shooting each other as much as you physically can. That right there is great tactics and great practice to actually understand how to fight somebody with a firearm or a mock firearm like an airsoft or a paintball gun. and how the situation works in real life. So, yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, also, I think that they should be using an airsoft gun, and he should have a training class for everybody who's a concealed weapons carrier holder, like on a Wednesday night or before church for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And they could actually set down the scenario, and you could actually set it up in a way in which you had all of your concealed weapons permit holders stationed around the church on the corners and give them permanent reserve seating. That's how I would do
it. Yes.
And you could, and if you want to step one further, you could give them all like a dark red shirt to wear every Sunday morning. You know, like a red shirt. Everybody's got the red shirt on. It's a concealed weapons carrier, and they're basically security. And that way, everybody knows that they're not returning fire on somebody who basically comes in. You know what I'm saying? And so it's great.
Yep.
Unless the person who's the nut shows up with a red shirt on, I guess you're okay. but it's just one of those things. You've got to be really careful when you start putting signs like that on a church or anywhere, because you've got to make sure your people are well trained, and you can't assume that they are trained. You have to make sure they get trained. By the way, a former Marine colonel now is writing in the campaign in Alabama to try to split and steal votes from Judge Roy Moore. I'm disappointed as a Marine colonel. Lee Busby plans to run as a write-in candidate in an attempt to try and stop Judge Moore from reaching the United States Senate. They'd rather have that unbelievable liberal in there that's all pro-transvestite, pro-gay, pro-bestiality, pro-whatever he wants to be pro of. It's sickening. Roy Moore has been accused of sexual misconduct with young girls 40 years ago, which I don't believe. Busby Moo served in the Marine Corps for 31 years and served as an aide to the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly. There you go. There you go. Good old Kelly, who absolutely hates Trump, during his last tour of duty. He also is known for his strong opposition to President Trump. Probably is. John Kelly's probably putting him up to this, by the way. Busby has no campaign website or any serious campaign ground game, but plans to rely on social media. He will emphasize his experience as a military leader and as a backbiter and as an unbelievably unloyal person to the United States of America. Oops, I put that in. And his background as an investment banker. Investment banker, probably Goldman Sachs. Defense contractor. Oh, there he goes again. There's more credibility. And an entrepreneur. What's he an entrepreneur of? Weapons contracting and weapons sales. It is believed that his backers are anxious not to get him elected, but to draw enough votes away to prevent Moore's election. This reeks of John Kelly doing all of this. Awesome. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. There's no question about it. They're trying to get this guy. They do not want him in there. That's what they've been trying to do all over the country. They're trying to get as many globalist boys in as they can. And this is what the overall goal is, because if they can get as many of these guys that are completely compromised, that have the same agenda throughout every single facet of our government, then they will completely control it eternally and internally. And it will be very, very difficult for us to ever regain a true republic back, because most of these guys will be bought and paid for. Also, too, in other news over in Hawaii, this is something that I have warned about repeatedly for everybody that uses medical marijuana. Even if it helps you out significantly, if you get great results from it, that's great. The issue is getting an ID card. This is something I brought up a year ago, and I talked in detail about it. Now, Hawaii, the globalist police state island that it is taking it a whole nother step further. Hawaii has now become the first state, as police have sent medical marijuana users a letter ordering them to voluntarily surrender their firearms and ammunition. They said, according to federal law, patients who use medical marijuana are not allowed to own a firearm. Federal law applies even in states that allow medical or recreational use of the drug. The letter signed by the Honolulu Police Chief Susan Ballard says those notified have 30 days from receipt to transfer ownership to turn in weapons and own ammunition to the police. 29 states have passed laws making it legal to use cannabis for medical or recreational use. Hawaii opened its first medical dispensary in August and will become the first state to issue a notice to users regarding the surrendering of their firearms. This, in my opinion, was a huge ploy. I brought this up multiple times on why the federal government, you gotta understand, guys, when it comes down to the war on drugs, the government and the globalists are never going to let up on it. This is a huge, huge money-making revenue machine for them. The war on drugs is an absolute abysmal failure. It doesn't exist. It never did exist. It was all about increasing the incarceration amount in the United States and increasing the prison industrial complex for-profit prison. That is the only reason the police state has grown to the level it has under the war on drugs. The government, if they cared about your health, and this is what the biggest thing you have to ask people when they're super, oh, well, you can make Kratom illegal too. You don't need this stuff running around. If the government cared anything about your health, why has it continued to allow glyphosate on the market that is a known carcinogen, even admitted by the WHO? They do not care about your health. They only care about being able to control you through that drug if they can make money on it, and if you do not follow their laws, they throw you in jail. Perfect example. If you use heroin as a Scheduled One compound and a felony to possess, you get multiple years in prison just for the possession of it. However, if you go to the doctor and you get OxyContin prescription and pay the pharmaceutical overbloated price, and you go through the pharmaceutical industrial complex and get your drugs through them, it's completely legal to use, get hooked on, and become an addict for the rest of your life. They do not care at all about your health. You have to get that through your head. This is what they did, and I knew this was going to be an issue when they started allowing the recreational medical use of marijuana in the states against federal law. The federal government, in my opinion, is never going to decriminalize marijuana. Marijuana is a multi-trillion dollar business as far as incarceration. They will never be able to get as many bodies and cells or produce as much money as they can through throwing people in the prison industrial complex if they ever legalize it on a federal level. This was the next step and why they have not pushed it so hard in most states that are allowing this to happen. They've now capitulated. These states have gone in and said, okay, we're going to basically legalize marijuana against federal law. Federal law blatantly states you cannot own a firearm if you're engaged in using illicit Schedule One drugs. It's very clear about that. Even ATF has reiterated that. So now these states are going to start capitulating and saying, if you have a medical ID card, even if you have cancer and this drug, this cannabis, is helping you so much, making your pain so much better, and you're not hooked on opiates, it doesn't matter. You still have to completely give up all your firearms now. This is complete violation of our constitutional rights and especially our Second Amendment. The fact that these guys expect them to put in and give up their firearms because they want to use a plant that grows in the ground naturally without any type of additives or preservatives or any type of pharmaceutical backing to it. This reeks of going in and completely disarming the United States population under the guise of the war on drugs. Again, another prime example of why I am not a fan of the war on drugs or any type of war that matter, Deb.
Okay, a lot of stuff to cover. Number one, let me go back to Kelly and this Marine colonel against Roy Moore. I got to make one more comment on that. If they split the vote with this colonel, the vote right now is give or take a couple points each direction as far as the election in Alabama right now. What it allows them to do is to cheat Judge Roy Moore with election fraud, with the Diebold election machines, because those machines are only designed to change the count a certain percentage. In other words, if they give 5% or 6% to this colonel, it will siphon off, supposedly with the Diebold election machines, from Judge Moore, which at that point in time will give the Democrat the election of the Senate seat. This whole thing is being set up for election fraud and voting machine fraud right now, and I highly suggest that Alabama gets rid of all of the electronic voting data that they have in that state right now, and they go to write-in only, and they actually have to fill in the little circles, and they're all hand-counted. That's what I hope happens, because if they do that, that's very difficult to hack and to change. So if you guys are listening to me in Alabama right now, and you're in charge of this, I'm telling you what they're fixing to do to you guys. They don't want more in office, period. And Kelly, being with Trump, Kelly hates Trump, okay? Completely opposed to Trump's ideology. I mean, so you got this Kelly guy putting this Marine colonel who worked with him, who worked in the international banking community, doing this. I mean, the whole thing reeks of Rothschild involvement. Now, let's go to the military-industrial complex and what you just talked about, Austin, with pot and with the millions and millions of people in prison right now manufacturing cheap items, cheap goods, et cetera, for this military-industrial complex. The concentration camps in Germany were funded through the Rothschild-Rockefeller banking institutions. They're the ones who set them up. They're the ones that made them super efficient and super productive. All of this stuff that we've been told about World War II and who was involved with it is all a lie. It's all a lie. You know, there's some of the things that are true, some of the things that happened in some of the battles and some of the things that people being killed and some of the stuff that Hitler did and some of the stuff that, you know, Stalin did and some of the stuff that Churchill did and some of the stuff that Dresden happened with Dresden. Those are all true items. But the actual people who were pulling the strings in the beginning, supplying Germany the capital for their war effort and all these things that was happening, it's all a lie. You guys have been completely misled. Watch the video from JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It has millions and millions of views, and it really is a good video. It's long. It's about 3.5 hours long. Do it in a couple of sittings. The first time I watched it, I was so intrigued by it that I watched the entire 3.5 hours. But it's that good of a video. I'm going to tell you again. It's called From JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick, and he talks about who financed the concentration camps, how the Bush, Rockefeller, Rothschild empire was being developed even back then, how the Rockefeller medical complex, all of these things, guys, it's this generational thing these guys are involved in. Because remember, these interdimensional entities, apparently they have different life lengths than we do. I mean, our lifespans used to be 1,000 years. We saw that in the Old Testament in Genesis. After the flood, that all changed. So the truth of the matter is we don't know how long these things live and how old they really are. All we know is that they're always up to their continuing mischief on this planet, continuing trying to destroy God's creation. That's who these guys are, and that's what these guys continue to do, because they don't want what God created here to stay the way God created it. By the way, former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino now threatens to expose Clinton crimes. Dan Bongino, a Secret Service agent and a Fox News host, got into a Twitter feud with Nick Merrill, and he said that Hillary Clinton is fighting for relevance to maintain her political clout in order to keep her crimes buried. This is true. Bongino threatened to spill the beans on Bill Clinton's 26 trips to Orgy Island with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Apparently, he knows about what he did down there, because remember, he was Secret Service. This video explores what Bongino may be able to prove. If so, his life may be in peril because the Clinton body count reportedly includes 12 former bodyguards who died during or after their service with the Clintons. The video is called Former Secret Service Agent Drops Clinton Corruption Breadcrumbs. So, guys, it's so important that we keep this witch of Benghazi's feet to the fire and let her realize that she's not going to step away from what she's done. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've been pushing it and pushing it, and I really pray that enough of us are in unison, and we've been praying enough for her to get fully and completely exposed. We saw that last year in November before the election, and now all they've tried to do after that, as you've seen, is blame Russia now, the new boogeyman, because Russia apparently completely, you know, changed the election, did all this stuff on it. But it's because they had to find somebody to obfuscate the blame onto and say, hey, these guys were the one that Hillary, that's why she didn't win the election, because these guys lied and these guys hacked stuff. Perfect example now of how far they're going now. This is a global effort, and this is why I've said so many times that there's a good possibility the globalists are going to try to take us to war with Russia eventually. The UK government is now saying that the Russians are behind citizens questioning vaccinations now, and it's called an emergency meeting. As you guys know, the United States has pretty much become a laughingstock, as I just said a second ago, around the entire world. Is it pretty much, it doesn't matter what happens, it's Russia's fault now. It's like, oh, my saw died this week. I don't have any grass in the yard. Well, it's the Russians' fault. Oh, well, it's dark today and it's cloudy. We don't have any sun. Oh, it's the Russians' fault. That's literally to the extent that the mainstream lying fake news media has gone to, from blaming Russian Vladimir Putin for hacking American elections, to making Hillary lose the election, to trying to establish the Fourth Reich again, to invading Syria and Ukraine, to arming North Korea, to creating a white supremacist Nazi group to take over the government. It's all the Russians' fault now. Every single thing is the Russians' fault. If you guys have noticed now, Russia and Putin have now essentially taken the place of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, the great boogeyman. Think about this for a second. For the last pretty much almost 20 years, we had Al-Qaeda, Oh, it's Al-Qaeda. There it is. Al-Qaeda that. Al-Qaeda this. Oh, it's Hussein's got weapons of mass destruction. He's involved with Al-Qaeda. We got to invade Iraq, blah, blah, blah. Then everything, all of a sudden, then ISIS pops up on the map. Out of nowhere, these guys are running around with tens of thousands of U.S. property, machine guns, belt-fed heavy weapons, artillery, mortars, MRAPs, brand-new Toyota trucks, just out of the blue. Just show up out of nowhere, like they come out of the sand with tens of thousands of armored personnel carriers that they just happened to acquire. Nobody knows how they got them. We don't know how we got them. Of course we do. It's the CIA. But these guys have been the boogeyman now for about the last 5 to 6 years. Al-Qaeda did it for the first part of the 2000s, and then ISIS took over about 2010 or so. Now, apparently, ISIS is over with because they've taken care of that boogeyman, and now Russia has taken that place. Every single thing that happens now is Russia's fault, if you guys have noticed. That or North Korea's. Now, England is attempting to leapfrog the United States in terms of the most ridiculous anti-Russian propaganda possible. It is now reported by the Mirror, which is a UK piece, that Russian cyber units are at the behest of Vladimir Putin himself, are hard at work at propagandizing and attempting to convince the people in Britain not to get vaccinated. The Mirror reports, and I quote, Russian cyber units are spreading false information about flu and measles vaccines in the UK, experts warn. Vladimir Putin is believed to want to erode the trust in the US and European governments. The state-sponsored units by Vladimir Putin are spreading the lies on social media to destabilize Britain. The Kremlin has previously been accused of attempting to influence Brexit and Scottish independence along with the United States elections. Now it is feared that they are trying to create distrust over flu jabs and MMR vaccines. And then it just goes on. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is actually serious. They actually reported on this as blaming Russia now for telling the truth about vaccinations and why you may want to think twice about getting some of these vaccinations, especially the MMR. Guys, I don't work for Russia. Dad doesn't work for Russia. I've only been to Russia one time in my life. It's a pretty country, great country. I don't live there, though. I live in the United States. Never met Putin. Probably never will. I could care less what Russia says about anything. I'm telling you the truth. Dad's telling you the truth based on years and years of research and personal experiences that I've dealt with so many people via person, phone call, and email that have had significantly bad health problems with their children and with themselves when they've got shot up with these vaccinations. This is not a joke. You just have to do the research on it and you find it out. Russia does not care about destabilizing the UK's vaccination program. They simply are trying to spread the truth the same way we are, Dad. But it's so crazy to me now that these guys nailed it. I didn't even think about it. First, we had Al-Qaeda for the first 7, 8, 9 years. Then ISIS has taken over for the last 6, 7 years. Now, Russia and North Korea are the big boogeyman that we basically have to attack and take down. Every 6, 7, 8 years, there's a new boogeyman that has to come out that they have to try and take over. And it's so clear now that these guys are doing everything they can to try to make the Russians look like they're the next boogeyman.
Absolutely right. Let me give you an analogy. This is gonna, you guys are gonna think this is funny. I think it's funny. You may not think it's funny. When I was little, we had cats. I had a lot of cats. It was kind of ridiculous because my mom didn't realize how quickly cats bred, and we suddenly had like 14 cats. And what was interesting about the cats is that they always, you know, had an interesting personality. Now, I'm not a cat guy. I'm 62 years old, not a cat guy. I like big dogs, like, you know, Malamutes, Shepherds, those kind of dogs. And what's interesting about the cats, though, and I always remember this, if they ever had a dog walk up on them and sneak up on them, they would immediately bristle. Their backs would bristle. They'd, you know, they'd be like, meow, you know, and the cats would have the claws out, you know, and either they would run, fight, or whatever to get away from the dog. And it was funny to me because you got that immediate cat response. You know, just, you know, they go static. They sit there, their hair sticks straight out, their tails get all big. You know, they're trying to look as big as they can. Their teeth come out. They're hissing and carrying on like, you know, the world's fixing to come to an end, which for them it might be if it's a German Shepherd or a Malamute. And so the reality is this. When you mention anything good about Russia, meow, with a lot of people, it's like they bristle up, Austin, and they're like a cat in front of a dog. You say anything good about North Korea, meow, you get the same thing. You say anything good about the boogeymen that are out there that the media portrays as boogeymen, you get this response. But the biggest response of that is if you say anything about Israel or Zionists, it's not, they don't just go berserk with the cat thing. They're in full attack mode. It doesn't matter if it's true. Forget the truth. It doesn't matter if it's true. It's that immediate cat meow, bristle, backs up in the air, hair sticking out, tail's all stiff. I mean, they get like that instantaneously if you say anything good or bad or even mention it in some cases, which is ridiculous. I mean, we should have the right to talk about this. So I'm saying all that in preface of this. Israeli official is now saying that few American Jews fight for their country. This is what she's saying on national TV. Israel, Deputy Foreign Minister Tzipi, I guess, Hovotli, during a recent TV interview, complained that the American Jews do not sufficiently support the pro-war policies of Israel because they don't know what it's like to be attacked by their enemies. Okay. She referred to American Jews as people that never send their children to fight for their country. I guess what they want to do is send them back to Israel to fight. Most of the Jews don't have children serving as soldiers, going to the Marines, going to Afghanistan, or go to Iraq. Most of them are having quite convenient lives. Hovotli was reprimanded for this statement by Prime Minister Netanyahu and forced to apologize for it because she was attacking American Jewry. Not because it is untrue, but because it is objectionable. Gilad Atzmon, an anti-war activist who was born in Israel, says that Jews being reluctant to fight American wars does not fit well with the fact that Americans have been fighting Israeli wars for many years. And now this is an article that I just pulled up from G. Edward Griffin. And guys, we have to have this ability to talk about this without everybody going, okay? We've got to talk about what these guys say and how they act all the time and how it's not okay when these guys are trying to force Americans to fight their wars for them. It's not okay. None of this is okay. It's not okay that England's doing what it's doing or France is doing what it's doing or that blithering idiot Angela Merkel is destroying Europe single-handedly. None of this is okay. We have to have the right in alternative media to talk about this and discuss this stuff because, guys, if we don't, it's censorship. And censorship always accompanies tyranny. It always, always, always does. That's why King George got so mad he started controlling all of the newspapers and all of the print in the colonies back in the 1700s because they were talking about him and what the policies of England were doing. So he said, no way, we're censoring everybody. Finally, the pastors in the pulpit got up. They couldn't be censored. And they're the ones that fomented the Revolutionary War because they wouldn't shut up because they were getting taxed without representation. They were having to be forced to use script they didn't want to use as far as money. And these guys were being treated like secondhand English citizens. And they had enough of it. Guys, we have to be able to tell the truth of what all these different countries are doing and what they're saying without the fear of censorship. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. And that's exactly what we've seen going on now in all the colleges with all this stuff on social media now, with them trying to block and prevent anybody from being able to say anything about the truth. I mean, they're doing an incredibly aggressive job of it here in the United States. They've already succeeded over in Europe. I mean, we've talked about numerous, numerous accounts over in Europe where individuals have gone on Facebook and YouTube and posted videos of the real truth of what's going on in Europe, what's really going on with the migration over there, and immediately the videos pulled offline. Immediately they have police at their front door saying, you can't go online and say that. What do you mean I can't go online and say that? That's verboten. You can't go online and say that. That's too much truth. Well, what do you mean? You can't tell me. No, I'm sorry. Actually, now you're being belligerent. Now we're actually going to take you to jail. You can't do any of this. This is where they're already at in Europe. They never really got to the point that we had with full freedom of expression, being able to say whatever we want, whenever we want to say it, however we want to say it. They never even reached that point. This is what we have to make sure we maintain. Just because you don't agree with what I say, that doesn't mean you have a right to shut me up physically. If I don't agree with what you say, that doesn't mean I have the right to physically harm you. Nobody has the right to go through and physically stop somebody from being able to say what they think or believe because you don't agree with it. This is the concept that does not mesh with Antifa, with Black Lives Matter, with all of these guys. If they want to go and say things that they believe, I'm okay with that. I really don't care what they say. They can spew the rhetoric all they want. Now, when it takes the next line is when these guys want to come in and start forcibly shutting everybody down by force from preventing of saying anything. This is what Antifa has done now, and they've used this. George Soros and all these goons and the globalists have used this now as a very, very undercover way to slowly undermine our First Amendment rights and trying to prevent us from being able to say anything. And then if you say anything, you're automatically a neo-Nazi racist who needs to be beat up by Antifa because we don't agree with what you say. That's true. The level that it's going, guys, and we can't allow ourselves to fall into this trap where we start thinking everything, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say this, you can't say that, just like the UK's doing now. Oh, Russia's trying to prevent you from getting vaccinations because they're saying there's toxic elements in vaccinations. Well, instead of addressing this and trying to blame shift Russia for telling the truth, why don't you actually address why these vaccines still have dimerosal, why they still have aluminum, why they have formaldehyde, why they have polyascorbate 80 in them, why when they test the HPV vaccine it tests positive for lead and other particulates. Maybe we should address that. Just maybe we should take a step back and say, maybe Russia's saying something that is truthful. Maybe we shouldn't go slap them in the face and say it's Russian's fault for speaking the truth. Why don't we address what the truth is and see if we can fix the situation? Why? Because 1986, the Vaccine Act allowed these guys to work under total immunity and produce the most toxic compounds, honestly, known to man that have ever been shot up in the population this size before, and they continue to do so as a eugenics depopulation program and also to make people as sick as physically possible. That's what nobody wants to talk about with the vaccinations, Dad. That is why they're trying to take our First Amendment, and that is why they're doing everything they can to blame anything Russia says as far as their pro-propaganda. They're trying to interfere with something as soon as Russia says something that's the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a program. They're about to do that, like that cat and the dog. It's ridiculous, Austin. By the way, the decline in NFL popularity is expected to cost TV networks $500 million this season, and they don't care. Protests against the national anthem by NFL players have contributed to the organization's loss of over 1 million viewers compared to 2016, Accordingly, the four networks that carry the NFL, CBS, ESPN, Fox, and NBC are on pace to lose $500 million this year. I mean, this is crazy, guys. And plus, ESPN is hemorrhaging people who watch those shows. Guys, this is what we have to do with everything. We have to let them know that we're not going to play this game, and we are going to vote with our pocketbooks. That's why I have not seen the new movie with Ben Affleck, the unbelievably heathen individual, and this whatever Wonder Woman is, her unbelievable heathen lesbian kiss on Saturday Night Live. I'm not doing it. I'm not supporting these guys. I'm not supporting that other little girl, what's her name, Scarlett Johansson, they're protesting the Donald Trump election in Washington, D.C. I'm not going to any more of their movies. I'm not paying any more money. I'm not going to see any more Reese Witherspoon movies. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to see that one girl who decided to do that movie, Mother. I am done. I'm not seeing any of these nutbags. None of them. They're a bunch of stinking weirdos, and I want nothing else to do with any of them. What do you think, Austin?
100% accurate, man. Don't go to their movies. Don't go to the NFL games. Don't support these guys with your funds. If you're sitting there and you're talking crap about, oh, I can't stand what this person believes, and I don't agree with this and that, and they're slamming Christians, and they want to kneel for the national anthem and be disrespectful, but you turn around and you go to the movie on Friday, and then you go buy season tickets for the NFL, and then you pay to go to their games, and you pay for their jerseys, dude, you're the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Keep your mouth shut. If you're going to actually go in and say, we're not going to support this anymore, we're not going to give them our money anymore, which is what we should all be doing. If you don't support something and you don't like it, why are you going to give it money? That's my question. That's one of the biggest aspects that I absolutely hate about the fact that Planned Parenthood has been funded by taxpayer dollars for so long, because we didn't get to vote on that. We don't get asked if we want to support abortions with taxpayer dollars. They just automatically take your tax dollars from you at gunpoint, and if you don't pay them, they throw you in jail, and then they turn around and give it to places that we don't want it to go. Like, why are we still giving $50 billion to Israel? I don't know. I didn't get to vote on that. Nobody asked me about it, so why do I have to pay it? That's the whole aspect. But good news, guys. I just had Harrison walk in my office. We just got multiple pallets of purple sticks in. I'm physically holding a box in my hand right now. So all you guys that have been asking us and emailing us, I am so happy to be able to tell you we have a substantial amount of purple sticks back in stock, a brand new batch ready to go. The regular boxes and the three packs are on the website at healthmasters.com. I just got it in my hand, got pretty excited, so I just had to kind of rabbit trail that real quick, Dad, but we are good to go with the purple sticks. We have them in-house ready to ship out immediately now.
I love those things. I take them every single morning. They don't elevate my cortisol. They give me a good kick in the morning. They've got a little bit of caffeine in them. They've got all kinds of antioxidants and vitamins in them. Great products. I use them every single day. By the way, the newest Barbie doll now is promoting the LGBT agenda. I mean, unbelievable. Again, stop buying Barbie dolls. The Barbie's children doll is being used now to further LGBT issues. Proud to wear this Love Wins shirt, states a Barbie associate Instagram account, along with a photo of two dolls wearing the LGBT-themed T-shirt. The Love Wins slogan is associated with support for the legalization of gay marriage. So now we're going to have queer Barbies. I don't even know what to say about this. I don't know what to say about a queer Barbie. I mean, here we've taken this Barbie, which is supposed to be the epitome of the female figure, body, etc., according to the globalists, and they try to program everybody that way to start with, which I absolutely don't agree with that, but that's what they've done. And now they're going to take this quote-unquote icon that's been around for 50, 60 years, and they're going to turn her into a gay promoter. I don't know, Austin, it's so nauseating to me that these guys are so sick and perverted that they do stuff like this. It blows my mind that they think that this stuff is okay. But guys, remember, these guys are sickos. They're sickos, okay? They like bestiality. They like drinking blood. They like doing all these weird things, you know, with all these sacrificial things they're involved in. So to them, putting a T-shirt on a Barbie is like minimum. It's all about to continue to reprogram the little girls and the little boys,
yep,
and to continue to push the transgender deal. That's what all this is, guys. You got to see through the obfuscation. This is Tavistock programming being done perfectly. It's awful, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, it's textbook. I mean, it is textbook programming. That's why it's being pushed so far on the young generation, the young crowd, the 10 and younger. If they really didn't care about it and they were just trying to push their agenda, they'd be trying to convince us 25, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds how awesome transgender is and how much we need to accept it. They already know we couldn't give a rat's butt about their agenda. We see right through them, and we don't have anything to do with their perverted behavior. However, if they push this programming onto the younger generation in the single digits, like Disney is doing right now, like they just produced their first film or their first TV show on the Disney Channel, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, that has their first openly gay story set. The whole entire episode is about a gay boy and his gay boyfriend or whatever weird stuff they want to have, and they've even admitted that average demographic age for that TV show is 10 years old. This is why they're trying to do it to the younger generation, because they know in another decade to 15 years, this younger generation is going to be so polluted and so perverted in their brain if we continue to allow them to watch this filth and garbage on the internet and on the TVs, that they're literally going to have full and total control of them to do whatever the globalists want to do. Ever wonder why the UN's agenda is 2030? Agenda 2030 UN. Every time you hear about something, it's Agenda 2030. You're like, oh man, that's 12, 13 years away, years from now. That's a long ways away. Think about it, guys. How old is a 10-year-old going to be in 13 years? 23. They're going to be that perfect age where they're going to actually be involved in the community. They're going to be involved in certain aspects of the government. They're going to be getting involved in everything around here, and they're going to think all this stuff is perfectly acceptable. Not good at all. Not acceptable in my book. My family nor my kids will be raised around this nonsense whatsoever. Also, too, in other news, as we're seeing, Facebook is continuing to go further and further down the artificial intelligence trail. Facebook now has proudly announced that it will use AI to scan your thoughts, of course, to enhance your safety. It says that the AI is to save lives, and it's based on behavior and thought pattern recognition. The latest rollout of artificial intelligence is to detect suicidal posts before they're reported. Facebook's new proactive detection artificial intelligence technology will scan all posts for patterns of suicidal thoughts and, when necessary, send mental health resources to the user at the risk or their friends, or contact local first responders. Now, obviously, I'm not the only person that thinks the idea of Facebook proactively scanning the content of people's posts can cause some serious issues, not to mention how further this technology is going to be applied. Facebook did not have any answer so far on how it would avoid scanning for political dissident or petty crime. Also, to remember, Facebook, whenever you accept it on your phone, if you do have it — I do not have Facebook, I don't have Facebook at all, period — but if you do have Facebook on your phone, turn off the camera and the microphone app on the Facebook app. Do not leave it on. It will automatically turn on once you allow the app to download. The reason why they do this, they actually watch your face. They have the ability. You sign it when you go on the app and you allow it to do it. It gives them the ability to use your camera, the selfie camera on the front side of the camera, and watches your face. They actually build analytics now. You can look this up. They build analytics on the certain posts you see, whether the post makes you happy, whether it makes you sad, whether it makes you aroused, whether it makes you angry. They see all that through the camera. So do not allow these apps to have access to your camera whatsoever, because they are spying on you. As weird and as creepy as that sounds, they're watching you. Now they're using artificial technology and all these analytics to determine whether or not your post means you're going to commit suicide. And if they think you are, they're going to locate and notify local authorities. This is taking it down the next step of a total totalitarian regime where they will monitor, watch every single aspect of your life, and Facebook has been the spearhead of it since its inception and its funding by the CIA through Zuckerberg, Deb.
Unbelievable. Which doesn't surprise me. Oh, by the way, here's probably one of the reasons England is pitching a fit about immunizations now and blaming things on Russia, because a new smoking gun has just been discovered. High levels of aluminum in autistic brains triggers autism. This is out of England.
There you go.
A new study from Professor Chris Exley of Keele University in England thinks autism and aluminum are linked in the brains of autistic children. The study found that the lowest dosage of aluminum is at 200 milligrams, actually delivers more aluminum to the brain than a higher dosage. The reason for this has not been studied, but maybe because the body attempts to isolate the aluminum before it gets to the brain, and this protective action might respond more quickly at higher dosages. In other words, low dosages may be more able to slip past the immune system and get to the brain before the body becomes aware of the need to respond. The size of the aluminum particles are also believed to play a role in this reverse dosing relationship, because of the fact that the smaller the particles, they pass easily into the blood-brain barrier. The U.S. government has given legal immunity to vaccine manufacturers so they cannot be sued for any damages caused to children. Guys, this is a absolute must that you guys tell your families, your friends, your relatives, your associates. If they get pregnant or they know somebody who gets pregnant, give them $2 or whatever it costs to watch the movie Vaxxed on Netflix, or if you want to buy them the video, mail it to them. It's like $6. Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. Every pregnant person needs to watch this. Every couple needs to watch this, husband and wife. Everybody needs to see what they are doing to us and enjoying doing to us, because, guys, this is their sick mantra. They want as many autistic children as they possibly can, I guess for their inhabitation of these demons or whatever they're trying to do, or in order to prevent them from reproducing. They know it is directly linked to autism. I mean, there's so much. There's hundreds of research articles out there now confirming this, but yet they won't look at any of them including the medical professionals, particularly the pediatricians, who continue to inject these children on an ongoing basis, watching these children become autistic, but making sure that they've got their 100 kids fully immunized so they can get their $40,000 bonus from Blue Cross Blue Shield times two for 200 kids. This is some sick stuff. And quite frankly, with an insurance company bonusing out doctors like this, that should be made illegal, because all they're doing is promoting the use of immunizations and the sale of these drugs, these compounds, to these medical professionals, which is completely, to me, unethical. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your purple sticks from us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for being here and praying for us. Thank you for being part of our family. Thank you for just listening to us every day. I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate you too. I pray for you guys on an ongoing basis. I pray that God continues to bless you, Lord, that His face shines upon you, that He's merciful unto you, that He grants you peace and longevity and health and wealth in all the areas of your life. That's what I pray for you guys on a regular basis, because I want you guys to be blessed when you listen to the show. And when you buy some multiple vitamins from us, or, you know, whatever from us, it really, really helps to maintain the cost of this show. And I appreciate you. Guys, I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, we appreciate it. I'm getting all caught up on the emails over the weekend, so I appreciate your patience on that. And, again, like I said a few minutes ago, purple sticks are in stock. I'm multiple pallets in today, finally. So we are rocking and ready to roll with you guys. We've been pushing and pushing and pushing to get this formula done as quick as possible, because we knew you guys wanted it. And so we finally got it together now. Got plenty of them. Call us up and buy as many as you want, whenever you want. Like I said, the three packs are also available on the website at healthmasters.com. If you want to get a bigger discount on it, that's what we put that on there for everybody. So really, yeah, absolutely, guys. It's exciting. When Harrison handed me that a minute ago, I was like, oh, I knew they were supposed to be coming in today, but I do not like promoting or advertising anything until I physically have it in my hand, so I know I can guarantee the product and guarantee shipment of it, and I don't look foolish if the product doesn't show up or I got the wrong product. So that's exciting. But yes, guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. Email us on the website or call us at 1-800-726-1834. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. We appreciate the support from everybody. Thank you guys so much for all of everything. I hope you guys enjoyed the sale last week with the Black Friday Thanksgiving sale. Definitely had a great time. Got to talk to a lot of customers and been answering emails left and right. So we appreciate the support, guys. We really do love you guys very much. You're like our Health Masters family. If you need anything, give us a call. Email us, healthmasters.com. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.